some few years ago now, we had arrived at our narrowboat with the idea of going to a certain destination. And we got on the boat, prepared to launch, and Julie made our way up the canal system with our destiny in mind. Several days had gone past and we were making great progress, and we moored up for a stop overnight, and then we were ready to move on the next day. Overnight, unbeknown to us, there had been a very strong storm that had blown through. And there'd been really strong winds in this storm. We had been in a fairly sheltered spot, so we were unaware of what had happened. And so we left our moorings and we headed on up the cut, which is what the canal is called. And as we progressed just a little bit further, suddenly we came to a point where we could progress no farther. Because overnight the wind had gone and blown a very mature tree, I mean an enormous tree, across the canal. Totally over the whole canal. So its root system was on one side of the canal and its branch system was on the other side of the canal. It was not something where you could just get off the boat and pick it up and shift it out the way. We were stuck. It was a barrier to our progress. And this evening I want to talk about go breaching barriers. You see, barriers so easily can be erected in our lives. We ourselves can erect barriers, such as unforgiveness, such as resentment, such as bitterness. Barriers that, if they are left unchecked, can actually become strongholds. Habits that begin to form, that become destructive and addictive. But also we can create barriers within a church. Barriers such as having cliques. Barriers such as being people who are wanting always to be in the place where things carried on as they did before, where tradition becomes very much at the forefront of what we desire, where certain worship songs or certain worship styles become the priority. We can have barriers such as fear. Barriers such as shyness, barriers such as inferiority, barriers such as doubt. And the question I want to ask is, do you recognize or see any barriers in your life that are preventing you from advancing and progressing in your journey with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus? Are there barriers that are there that are preventing you from reaching the destiny that God has planned for you? Well, if there are, and I suspect for many of us, including myself, I'm aware of barriers still in my life. See, one of the barriers that so easily can creep up on me is the barrier of old age. You're getting too old to do things like that. Now, I'm not sure that I'd want to go on the back of a Harley Davidson going down the road at however many rates of knots she went down the road. I'm certainly not too keen on the concept of going and climbing 200 odd stairs. But I am aware there are barriers that so easily can prevent me from progressing. I want us to look at a story that will be so well known to so many of you, of a barrier and a stronghold, and how this barrier was breached. We pick up the story in Joshua chapter 5, at the end of chapter 5, and I'm just going to read from verse 13. As Joshua approached the city of Jericho, he looked up and saw a man facing him with a sword in hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you friend or foe? Neither one, he replied. I am the commander of the Lord's army. I wonder how you would feel if suddenly there before you there was this individual who you just thought was some ordinary individual, and when you challenge them, the response to you is, I am the commander of the Lord's army. I am Jesus incarnate. I am Jesus who is demonstrating myself here in the Old Testament. And as he speaks these words to Joshua, it says that this, Joshua fell with his face to the ground in reverence. He goes on to say, I am at your command, Joshua said. What do you want your servant to do? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. Well, you know, this evening we're standing on holy ground. And there are angels all around. This is a place of encounter. This is a place of transformation. This is a place where you can discover that barriers can be breached. This is a place where God can move miraculously. This is a place where God can shape you. This is a place where God can speak to you. This is a place where God can come alongside you and reveal something of his nature to you that you've not seen before. This is a place where you can hear the word of command. This is the place where you can sense God giving you an expectation of a new chapter or a new season in your life. This is holy ground. And so he goes on to say, the commander of the Lord replied, take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. And Joshua did as he was told. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, I've given you Jericho, its king and all its mighty warriors. Your entire army is to march around the city once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day you are to march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the horns, have all the people give a mighty shout. And then the walls of the city will collapse, and those who were asleep will wake up. Now that bit is not in there. Then the walls of the city will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the city. There are some lessons that we can learn when it comes to breaching the barriers that are in our lives, or indeed in the life of his church, that are preventing us from advancing. The first lesson we discover here is the promise that is given. Joshua receives a word from God which says, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. There are things that God has said to you that have yet to come to fruition, but they are promises that he has given, and nothing will thwart that promise coming to pass. It's exciting to hear of people who were making a commitment to follow Jesus and accept him as Lord and Savior. And there is a promise that Jesus gave that if he is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. We have a promise that the harvest is plentiful. It's the workers and the few. There is that promise that God's heart and desire is that his kingdom will come in power and in glory. I have an expectation and a belief that God will fulfill that promise within the life of our own church and assembly and across the East Gateway Hub, because God is faithful to his promises. And some of you, promises have been given, and yet as you have thought and indeed think about those promises, immediately the enemy is erecting barriers that say that promise can't come to pass, that promise is too late now, that promise, that something that I've missed, that promise cannot come to fruition. And God wants you to know that he has given you a promise, and that there will be the moment and the time when you will see the promise come to fulfillment. But alongside the promise, there is also a plan. Trying to capture a sense of what God's plan is interesting. Because God's plans don't always identify with our plans, and God's plans can sometimes be extremely peculiar. Had I been Joshua, and had I been making plans, how do I get through this barrier? Then I would have strategically thought about, well, how are we going to be able to attack this fortress? How are we going to be able to scale these walls? Which of the members of the army do we need to send in? Do we try to breach the gates first? How on earth can we put in place all that is necessary in order that we might take this territory? But Joshua has said a very important thing when he met with the commander of the Lord's army. He said, "What do you want me to do?" You know, that is a vital question that each of us need to ask. What do you want me to do? It's very personal, but it's also opening the opportunity for God to say to you, "This is what I want you to do. This is my plan." And for each and every one of you, God has a plan. Whatever your age, whatever your background, wherever you might be in your journey with God, He has a plan for your life. If you've not yet come to know and experience Him as Lord and Savior, that is the first plan He has for you. To come into that dynamic relationship where Jesus is not some person that is read about in the Bible or some person that you hear some sermon on, but Jesus becomes real and tangible to you. Where He becomes an integral part of your life. Where suddenly you are aware of His presence and of His power and of His Spirit touching you and moving upon you. But once you've come to that place, then we're told that God has a plan for us. I love that verse in the Old Testament where it speaks about the fact that God says that He has plans to prosper us, to bless us, to enable us to know the abundance of His grace and His goodness poured into our lives, to enable you to go and explore places you've never explored before. And so it is that God says, "I've got a plan." Now, when you hear the plan that God has, you might be shocked by what He says. And I suspect that Joshua might have been taken aback by what God says to him. Because God says to Joshua, "Right, Joshua, this is the plan. For 6 days, you and the army are to walk around the walls of Jericho." And the difficult bit for me is this bit. You're to do it silently. You are not to say a word. Not to speak. Not to whisper. Not to nudge your neighbour and say, "What are we doing here?" Not to get yourself into that place where, "Oh, I just need to share this bit of news. Have you heard what's going on?" No, silence. I don't know how long it took them to walk around the city. I suspect it was pretty big. Just imagine for a moment that you're starting the walk here outside the church. You're walking down Ashington Road. You come to Rectory Avenue. And you walk along Rectory Avenue. And then you come to Rectory Avenue, and you go and turn up there, and you come up along all the way until you get to Clifton, and you then come down Clifton Road back to here once. And in all that time, all of you, you're all together, and you can't say a thing. You can't say, "That's my house, we just walked past." You can't say, "Did you notice that person looking over there?" Not a word. That was God's plan. But then God says, okay, once you've got to the end of the 6 days having done that, on the seventh day, seven times you are to go around. And still keep quiet. Until you get to the point where victory is going to be given. And then you are to, ready for this, Kay? Shout! Now, I would find that plan extremely peculiar and think to myself, how on earth can this bring down the barrier that is there before me? Some of you need to know that the plan to destroy the barrier in your life, in your situation, in your circumstances, in your family, is not rooted in your ideas or how you see things should work out, but is rooted in the purposes and plans that God has, in order that as you submit to those plans, no matter how difficult they may appear, no matter how peculiar they may appear, no matter how out of sync with your ideas they may appear, until and unless you walk in obedience to those plans, the barrier will not be breached, and you will not see the way through. For his ways are not your ways, and his thoughts are not your thoughts. And for here, as part of the East Gateway Hub, there are plans that God has afoot. And it is necessary, important, for the leadership to have a sense of what God is saying at this time, in this moment, as he reveals and declares to you what the plans are. The plans will in some respects be very much in the present arena and the present time. But there will also be revelation of plans that he has for the future. And it is as you identify with those plans, sense what he's saying, and move in obedience with those plans, that you will see amazing things happen. It will do something that will release the power of God in a way you never thought possible. And so, having received the plan, then we see that the people had to prepare the way and they had to partner with God. And as part of that preparation and partnering with God, not only did they have to do this walking around the city, but the important thing as well was they had to go where the presence of God was going. You see, it's important that the presence of God is integral in any plan. And the Ark of the Covenant, which was the demonstration of the visible presence of God amongst the people of God, was there engaged within the plan and within the walk. The people went not separate from the presence, but with the presence of God as part and parcel of what they were doing. The people could see the evidence that God was with them. And we must never, ever come to a point as a church where we begin to move without the presence of God being very much an integral part of what we are doing. And as individuals, carry the presence of God with you. It's interesting to hear Maureen say how that there were times as they were preparing to minister to people, particularly to people who were not yet followers of Jesus, how they felt and sensed the tangible presence of God. I have a sense that there is a day coming when we will find opportunities to speak into people's lives who are not yet followers of Jesus, carrying words of wisdom, carrying words of knowledge, that will create the environment where the barrier will be breached that is preventing them from seeing and knowing and experiencing the power of Jesus at work. And for some of you within the life of your own family, there will be times when you will be given something that as you speak it, it will release and bring an awareness of the presence of God. As you partner with God in seeing his plans and purposes fulfilled. I do wish sometimes that God would hurry up. I'm a bit of an impatient man. I'm still really waiting for revival in its truest sense. I've seen some great moves of God, but not revival in the way that I read about revival in some of the days of the early church, certainly in the days of the early Pentecostal church. And so for me, I find it sometimes a struggle to keep going, to keep believing, to keep expecting. Again, put yourself in the position of this army as they march round the walls. Day one passes, no change. Day two passes, not a sign. Day three passes, not a stone has moved. Day four passes, nothing's gone on. Day five passes, just the same as yesterday. Day six passes, still no evidence of God at work. Day seven comes, let's all toddle around once, nothing. Twice, nothing. Three times, nothing. Four times, nothing. Five times, nothing. Six times, nothing. The end of the seventh time, at the end of that moment, there's a point where still nothing has happened. What released the power of God was the moment when they didn't see anything happening, but when they shouted that something was about to happen, because God had promised it. Some of you need to know that you have not seen anything change. And because you've not seen anything change, there are doubts that are coming in, questions that are arising in your mind, things like, God, why aren't you fulfilling this promise? God, why aren't you taking this action? God, why am I not seeing change in my life, or in the life of my family, or in the life of the neighbourhood in which I live, or in the life of the church of which I'm part? Questioning why it is that you have to keep on doing what you're doing, and yet it just does not seem to be making any difference. And should you change what you're doing? Should you do something different, knowing that God has told you what you need to do? God wants you to know that you need to continue to persist. Because in the persistence, that is a proof of your faithfulness. Your faithfulness in believing that God will accomplish what God has said that he will accomplish. You see, none of us are called to success, but all of us are called to faithfulness. It doesn't mean there won't be some who will, in the world's view, be successful, where they will become leaders of perhaps very large churches, where they will have a national ministry, where they will see God moving in power in amazing ways through their lives. Whereas others will just potentially, in the world's eyes, be seen as those that were in the background, that were not necessarily seemingly accomplishing much. But I'm fully aware that there will be those, when I get to heaven, who will be ahead of me in the queue because they have been faithful. And when we arrive at heaven, the words spoken to us are not well done, good and successful servant. It's well done, good and faithful servant. Some of you, God wants you to know, he commends you for your faithfulness. You've continued to keep going, even though at times it's been a struggle. Times when it's been that you've been there in the background, it seems that no one's noticed. But God wants you to know that, like the widow who bought her mite and dropped it in the offering box, and that Jesus saw that happened and used her as an illustration of commending her who had given what appeared to be so little and yet was all that she had. God wants you to know that you are commended for your faithfulness, for your willingness to continue to persist, to serve, to give of your life in honour of him, to see his kingdom come. Some of you have been faithful in prayer, and you've held on to God. You've cried out. You felt something of the pain that at times you have felt as a result of you touching his heart. your yearning and your calling out to him, that there will be breakthrough that will come, and God wants to commend you. And he wants to say to you, continue to be faithful. Continue to do what he's called you to do. Continue to be aware that he's entrusted you with something that is supernatural and powerful, a gift from heaven that will bring about the release of something miraculous on earth. Persistence pays. Some of you in your journey of faith are feeling at times like giving up. God says, be persistent. Do not be diverted away from what God wants to do in your life. For some of you, you're feeling that you have got to the point where you're feeling tired and you're weary. But God says to you, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. The moment's arrived. Nothing's changed. But at that moment, in obedience to what God has said as far as his plan was concerned, there comes this amazing, almighty shout. Much louder than that. Can you imagine, you've not been able to say anything for so long, and now's your opportunity. Yes! As we find at that moment of voicing our faith, our expectation, it's so pent up within us. There's just something there that's just waiting to burst forth. It's almost like a dam that is broken. Yes! And with that great shout, and the Bible says it's a great shout, that great shout that says, this is the moment. That great shout that says, the barriers are breached. This great shout that says, I know God is going to release something here. This great shout that says, this is the moment of my destiny. This great shout that brings us into a position where we suddenly see God giving to us what he wants us to receive and have in order that he might be glorified through us. As we give that shout of declaration to heaven, that we are ready to receive a declaration to those around us that we're united with them in believing that we're going to receive, and a declaration to the enemy who was in the stronghold that destruction was now coming. There will be your moments of shout, your moments of praise, your moments of declaration. Your moments when God will say to you, now declare the victory. And in that declaration, you will suddenly see God move and all that was opposing you removed out of the way. I sometimes wonder just what happened to those walls. My only assumption, because the Bible talks about how they go straight in. Now you know the walls were thick enough that Rahab's house was built on them. So if they'd just fallen down flat, there would have been great mounds of rubble. So my only thought can be, somehow or other, supernaturally, the ground opened up and the walls just sunk. Out of sight, out of the way, for the people to march in. God's in the business of breaching barriers, destroying them, moving them out of the way, so that you can advance into all that he has for you, so that you can continue in your journey to receive the promised land that is yours to receive. The promises that God has given to you that will become a reality in your life as the barriers are breached. My prayer is that you will in these days know and experience that reality. Resting on the promises received, knowing the plan that God has for you, preparing the way as you partner with God for Him to be able to demonstrate His power, persistent when there are so many things suggesting to you that nothing has changed and you might as well give up, but pronouncing the victory even though you've not seen any change, in the belief at that moment as God says, now's your time, you see the barriers penetrated and you see that the ground is now yours to take as you progress forward.